and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jared Free coming live from the West Village of Manhattan. We are here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is how it works, people. This is a user-driven art form. It doesn't happen without you. It doesn't happen without you listening. It doesn't happen without you emailing. It doesn't happen without you telling a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, anyone with ears. And we take the earless community as well. But I'm just saying right now, thank you. If you're listening right now, you have ended up here. And, you know, what's the service? What am I providing? An hour to take your brain and put it on the shelf. Let my guest and I be your thoughts. Let us take the wheel for an hour. Get you away from things. And you know what? I'm going to turn this thank you and description of what we do into an ask. People, if you have found value in this podcast, tell a friend. Send it to the group chat. We do so many emails. One of them relates to something you're talking about at brunch. One of them relates to one of your friends. Send it out and send in your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And we love a screenshot email. We love seeing, because there's three sides to every story. There's your side, there's their side, and then there's the screenshots that tell us the truth. So screenshot emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're out there right now, I want you to come to a show. Here are my dates. I'm coming to Salt Lake City, Kansas City, Denver, Columbus, Newark, Madison, just added to the calendar, Tampa, La Jolla, San Diego. You've been asking. Well, I am answering right now. La Jolla, Nashville, Dayton, Albany. So jaredfree.com for tickets. jaredfree.com for tickets. I'm very excited about today's guest. They have an album that is out right now. And we've done the comedy album thing here before. I say that the comedy album is the cousin to the podcast. Podcast is freewheeling conversation. Two people, you know, just letting it fly. The comedy album is a produced, curated, worked on piece of art. This ain't art. You think a podcast is art? I'm shitting this out every week. We're just making sure I'm making sure I'm out there Monday at midnight so that you have someone that can take the wheel of your thoughts. I'm not driving that car very carefully. I'm taking the wheel, but I ain't driving careful. A comedy album, you can hear the glasses and the silverware and the wait staff. It feels, if you close your eyes, you're in the comedy club. You're in that basement. And our next guest has an album out. It's called Feeling of Emptiness, and you can listen to it anywhere you listen to music. If you're streaming, you can go. And you can go to her website and you can download it all. And we want to welcome her. Hilarious comic, so funny. Katie Hannigan, thank you for coming on.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to do the show.
It's a pleasure. I'm embarrassed. I've been doing this years. You should have been on years ago. We've known each other a long time. You're fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you're here. How are you? What's going on? The album, we're excited. What's happening?
So I'm finally, after I completely self-produced this album. So it's been so much work of like admin, doing the editing, doing the art, scheduling everything.
Self-produced. So people, this is a big deal. This is something like, you know, this is all these comics are out there just, and honestly, all you're asking for is to make someone laugh. Like you had to do all this work to do someone the biggest fucking favor in their lives. These people should be ashamed of themselves.
Yes, please check it out. If you do not buy it, you are a misogynist.
That's right.
And I will be calling you out publicly. But it's been a roller coaster, Jared. I have to tell you, like I thought it would be easy for some reason. You know, we know friends who have self-produced and everyone was giving me the advice to do it. And then meanwhile, I find out like they're outsourcing everything. And I'm like learning the distributing and everything. So I'm like, okay. The one place I did do a little boo-boo, I realized when it's way too late, I accidentally on the distributor did list my album in the genre of new age somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's not in the comedy.
It's partially the secondary category was comedy. So it got in that way, but I was like, oh my God. I mean, I do use crystals. So obviously it fits. So I'm hoping I'll maybe pick up some dreamers.
Well, here's what's going to end up happening. And I knock on wood for this to happen because I do, I'm cheering for the album because, listen, people, Katie's so fucking funny. Go to katiehannigan.com, at Katie Hannigan forever. It's called Feeling of Emptiness. You guys are going to love, love, love. Anywhere you stream music, it is in the self-help. What is it? What's the genre?
The new age.
New age. Well,
Feeling
you know
of Emptiness
gonna,
and Pure Moods right next to each other.
Right. You say, do. Yes, like yeah. that Enya.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that Enya
and then
commercial.
Me like, and I blew him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but what's going to happen is, and I've thought of this before, you're going to be top of the charts on New Age and you're going to get all these people who are going to be tricked into and then into, you know, and I blew him and it's going to be,
then
now
I
you
love
found
it.
This new audience. I think it's going to work out for you. I have high hopes.
What's to say that stand-up comedy isn't New Age? Right.
No, but it does make sense. It is. Yeah, it's new to them. It's new to you. It's like a used car. You know, this is
yeah.
the new
yes.
age group. It's new to you.
Yeah.
So I want everyone to go. And you, where did you tape it? What is the meaning of feeling of emptiness? Because so,
yes.
that's going to be a tough one to push on the new age people. They yeah. feel more positive
yes.
than this.
So I taped over at New York Comedy Club in Gramercy, mm-hmm. which I love. It's an amazing club and I adore it. And they handled the sound for me really, really well. So I'm super pleased. And that was actually one reason why I wanted to come on this podcast, because it's a lot of material from my 20s of my time dating, drinking. There's a lot of dating stuff on there. And then there's also my journey into starting birth control. Into starting birth control, which I have a ton of material about, because it's just like, you know, you're up, you're down, you know, who knows what's a side effect. And I was looking at the side effects for my birth control. And one of the side effects listed was a feeling of emptiness, which I think is hilarious, because it's like, is that not the main effect of birth control?
That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
Decided to make it. Yeah.
So what age did you start birth control?
I started it at most recently at 33, but I had started it, like, I think I took it in college. I took the NuvaRing for a little bit, but it's just kind of been all over the place, where it's like, oh, I'll be in a relationship. I'm like, I guess maybe I should start taking it. I mean, now I'm just like, God, I hope I get pregnant by accident, because, you know, the clock is freaking ticking at this point. So,
well, so. When you... As far as making the decision, like I'm a stupid dude. Like if I'm when that question comes up, it's always like the last possible second. Like when you were not on it, what were the reactions versus when you are on it? Like, do you sense a difference in that? Like, you know, like, especially like you live in New York City, you go, are you on birth control? And the woman goes, yeah, of course. You know, and you go, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they're like, no. And you're like, what do we do here? You know, like,
right,
did you get that? Like, okay, yeah. All hands on deck. What are we going to do? Should I get the Dermadam?
Right. You know, like. Well, I think it was always like, okay, well, let's be careful. Cause I was never on it, not in a relationship. Cause I was just like, oh, you know, I don't think I'm usually pretty careful with that stuff, being like the prude that I am. Every time I would like sleep with a new guy, I'm like, when was your HIV test? Do you have a document? I'm like checking it like it's the vax card, you know, because my mom is a nurse. So, you know, it just like filters in. And plus I went to Catholic school. So
everyone has HIV and everyone will make you go to hell. It's like,
yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you better buy dinner if you want to fuck me. So
that gets you off the hook.
Yeah. Jesus. What would Jesus do? I think.
Yes.
So, but yeah, but then I think the reason I got on it this time was I was like, oh, you know, we had a couple, when you start to get in a relationship with people, it's like, oh, the moment is just so exciting. And like, we, you know, it was like Valentine's Day. And then it was like, oh, it's a birthday. It's like so many holidays that it's like, oh, okay. Time to start playing it safe.
Yeah. And so when you were looking for what option to use, was it a test period? Like, how do you, because this is, you know, I'm sure everyone can relate, the female listeners, especially like, can relate to, like, it's a little bit of like, you're at the ice cream shop. I'll try this flavor. I'll try that flavor. What made you land on where you are right now in that decision?
Well, okay. So I've been on a journey, and I did talk about this a little bit on my podcast, Lady Journey, my birth control journey, but I started out First of all, I was like, never an IUD because I'm just too afraid. I can't have like a surgery. It sounds like a sci-fi movie. I can't even believe that's a thing.
Do you understand? I didn't realize here's from the male side of things, we are stupid fucking idiots. We don't know any of this. We don't know any of this. We are like, and also that's, I would say, if you want to empathize with the male position, it's why we're living in fear every day and just not sure. Yeah. When the knowledge equals power, lack of knowledge equals fear, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure that's an opinion that's had by everyone.
Yes.
But I'm saying I did a show. There was a woman. I did a guest spot on the Girls Gotta Eat live show in Chicago. And there was one woman.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun, huge theater. And one woman did an ode to her friend. And one of the things she mentioned was that she ripped out her own IUD. That imagery will live with me forever. Like I couldn't
I don't know how I feel, but that sounds like unstable behavior.
I think that was what kind of they were insinuating, that like they love her, and like it was like this like very nice homage. Yeah, yeah, that friend.
And four margaritas, and then I did a surgery on myself.
I was like just the imagery of that, and I was like, and then I started thinking about like the IUD itself and just like what it takes to put it in, like unbelievable. So like I can understand when someone's like, that's not for me.
No and also you hear stories from girls, like some girls are like, oh, it was a little pinch, and some girls are like, it was the worst pain I ever felt in my life. And you're like, okay, no
it's a reverse baby. Yeah
so I was like, definitely no IUD. And I had done the Nuvo ring a couple times, and every time I did it, I was just so unstable, like lashing out at my family. And I was like, I just don't want like the emotional upset of like texting my mom. I'm like waking up in the middle of the night and being like, I remember what happened in 1991. And my mom's like,
really?
Okay. I was unhinged. I was on the Nuvo ring, and it really caused me to go through a breakup. And I was like, well, I guess I don't need this anymore. Because I was just acting so unstable, and my relationship was toxic anyway, but I guess I was just like, it was time, and I was just like ready to pull the plug. But so I was like, no Nuvo. And they really try to get you on that one too, because you don't have to remember to take it. I'm like, I'm not gonna forget. I mean, I do sometimes but so I got on the combo pill, the estrogen and progesterone, and I didn't have any, you know, I was like, I don't care about bloating, I don't care about weight gain, I don't care about any of that. I just don't want to have like be like at a comedy show and someone doesn't laugh at my joke and I'm like, fuck you, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
have like mood swings.
That would scare me too, like because like, you know, you want to have control. Like I mean, that's also the reason I don't really smoke weed. Like I want to have control over my, like I drink alcohol and I feel in control.
Yeah,
you know, like I smoke weed or do an edible and I'm like, where's this gonna go, when does this end?
Yeah.
And it's like I would feel the same way about anything that meant with my emotions that way.
Yeah. So I was nervous. I was nervous about that one, but I had friends give it like a positive review. So I just went for it, and I took it for about a year, and I had like no sex drive on it. But you know how like ladies, every lady I think is like this in a way, where it's like you're in a relationship, it's hot and heavy, then you get busy, then you're like doing stuff and you kind of don't notice it. It took me a while to notice. I was like, I guess I just like don't, I'm not in the mood. I don't know. But then I was getting so many other side effects from it. Like I was getting like headaches every time I would have, I was like, I guess I can't drink wine. I guess I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
One glass of wine was causing me a migraine, and that's what did it.
Well, you're like,
and I'm like, I don't care about sex. I can't live without wine.
Yeah. Right. But it's so interesting to me. And there has to be a point when you're trying out all these things. It's like, you know, I don't know what male doctor created like the, and I'm sure this is true, but it sounds like a male doctor created like, no, it's good for your acne. It'll be good for your skin.
Yeah.
You know, like it sounds like some dude that was just like, I don't want to wear condoms. You know, like it's like, but I, there has to be a point from the female side where you're like, what am I doing this all for? For some, and that's why when you say I'm in a, you know, I like to do it when I'm in a relationship, and I'm sure the opposite exists where someone's evened out by it.
Yeah. I think I did get a little evened out by it actually, because I had kind of like a, every time I would get my period, I would have like really bad PMS. And so I like that you get the consistent dose of hormones, and it is, it does actually help with that, because you're just getting the same hormones every day. You're not getting like a spike. And then I would kind of have like a psycho spiral every, you know, like 3 weeks or so, where I would just kind of like go off the deep end, and I'd be like, oh, I got my period. Like everything's fine.
Like the, how did
the toxins leaving my body?
How do you know, you mentioned the psycho spiral. This is
I love it.
And
my personal fave.
You're in a relationship now, and you seem seemingly a healthy relationship. It seems you seem happy, and I know, I know your boyfriend. So, like, to me, everyone seems happy. And what do you, you know? Because I'm sure there's someone, and I don't think you're psycho at all, but I'm sure there's someone listening who's like, I get the psycho spiral, and they're worried. How did you figure that along with your dating life? You know, like, because we get a question where it's like, I don't want to scare a guy away. And everyone, go follow Katie at Katie Hannigan forever on Instagram. Her album, Feeling of Emptiness, it's out right now. Lady Journey is her podcast, where you've done a Lady Journey does it with Sarah Tolomash, and they did an episode all about Katie's journey to sex, birth control.
I'm sorry. Yes. Having sex freely.
Well,
I think the psycho spiral, I always say, like, just hide it. You have to hide it.
Hide it first.
You really do. It's like, just don't let him see that. I hid it for a while, and I was on, and I was in therapy at the time. And I, at this time I did, when we started dating, I had a little prescription of Xanax. So I would never abuse it. I just would have, you know, if I was going in a psycho spiral, just little Xanax, go to bed. Like once a month, little Xanax, go to bed. And then I was like, oh, this is, I'm okay. And so I have evened out from the birth control. So I would say, like, while the combination pill is not great, I'm on the mini pill now, which is just progesterone, way less side effects.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, my boyfriend is so wonderful. And I do think he's like the person for me. And that's one of the reasons I know, because like, if I do get upset about something, he's such like an evolved guy, where it's like, he's done work on himself. He's been in therapy. He totally understands. And he always is like there for me and tries to help me until it becomes like the third day of it. And then he's like, okay, come on. He starts like treating me like a soccer coach. He's like, get back out there, hon. Come on. So I think like,
enough's enough, kid.
Yeah. He's like, come on. We're ordering pizza. Like, you're fine. And I'm like, oh, my career. But yeah, I think the right guy is going to be able to be there for you. And then you're going to also want to be there for him, because guys have a little psycho spiral sometimes too. And sometimes you just need somebody to be like, hey, yes, you had chocolate on your face at the party. No one cares. Yeah. No one thinks that you're a moron. Like, we're good.
Well, it's also like, you know, the idea of scaring some away, like, you know, you see the quote unquote psycho spiral and they go, okay, well, I'm working with you on it. Like, just like the soccer coach thing. It's like, no one runs away. That's the right person for you.
Yeah, but I think you're also not supposed to, don't go too psycho too soon, because there is that thing that, like, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. It's like, well, your worst could be really bad, and maybe you need to work on it. So don't, like, shouldn't be like week two, you just like, you know, swallowed, and then now you're like having a full meltdown at brunch. It's like, no, you need to go home, tell him you'll see him later,
yes,
and then just shove it down a little longer.
Also, there's some class in being like, I'm not going to give you my worst.
No.
There's a little bit of class where you go, I have to pull it back because we're at a party amongst other people. You know, like, this needs to. So
I'm not going to lash out at your friend from college. Well, because we had, I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to this, because I basically moved in with him. We had been together about a year and a half at the beginning of the pandemic. And it was like, that's when he saw my worst, when we were just face to face.
Oh, yeah.
So I kept it, you know, I kind of, like a more introverted person. So I did keep it down for a little longer. Excuse me. Listen, that's my birth control alarm. Actually, I will be taking it right now, because
listen, life imitating art. Everyone needs to go download Katie's album, Feeling of Emptiness. And I think that's such a cool topic, getting into birth control. I think so many people are going to love laughing at that and have their own experience that I'm sure relates to yours. So Feeling of Emptiness, Katie Hannigan. If you search Katie Hannigan on any music streaming app, she's going to pop up, and you can subscribe to her. You can listen to the album. That is helpful, and it's something you're already paying for. So like people, go get involved with Katie at Katie Hannigan Forever. She has a podcast, Lady Journey. Go get subscribed to that. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Yes.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. How to provide closure as the person who initiated the breakup. J Train, Feather Feather, been listening since the beginning of You Up and have been listening to the entirety of J Train plus podcast you guest on. Thank you. Congrats on touring with Bert to Penn State. Wish I could make it out there. Well, thank you. The question, how do I best provide closure for my ex-girlfriend as the person who initiated the breakup? We moved in together after a year of dating, and after 6 months, I realized that it wasn't the match and decided to end things and move out. I believe you are intimately familiar with this type of situation. Yes, I've gone through something similar. Now, in the post-breakup phase, 2 weeks out, she wants to have a conversation to clarify some things she is stuck on. I am more than willing to have this conversation, but I want to avoid pointing fingers as I genuinely believe she's a great person. I just don't think our personalities match. How do I navigate this conversation while providing reasons for the breakup while also not making her feel like a piece of shit? P.S. I miss the descriptions of how being feathered makes you feel. Okay, we'll get back to those descriptions. Katie,
this is great because you had a joke about this last night and I was watching you perform. Yeah. I was thinking about it and I was really thinking, like, you know, when you break up with somebody, they always want to know what it is about them. And it's from some kind of, like, I think a place of toxic self-harm when it's like, it's not that you chew your food too loud. It's not that it's this about you. The fact of the matter is this relationship is not going to work. And it's not the relationship that I want to be in. And it's so painful for people to hear that because it's like, it's a rejection. You want to know what it is about you, but it's like, it's not a good match.
And you know, we talked, it's funny because we went on stage together last night. Will Silvins and Sypha Sounds have a great show at the Comedy Cellar every Wednesday. It's like a late 10:30 show, and they jump on stage with you. And Katie was guest hosting last night. So it was Will, Sypha, and Katie with me after my set on stage. So much fun. So if you want to go to the Comedy Cellar, there's always, I'll say this, it's hard to get tickets to the Comedy Cellar, but if you're out 10:30 on a Wednesday, this is one you can get into and have like a fun, chill time. It's a fun show. And so I did my set, and like, listen, I broke up with my girlfriend and moved out a year ago. So I'm still trying to figure this out. So the answer to this person's question is it's not easy, first of all.
Yeah.
And what I was talking about on stage last night is like, you get asked why, and you're right. They're looking for you to give a reason like that they didn't think of, and you know, and it comes from a place of like, okay, well, I'll fix that. You know, they're like, well, I'll fix that. Well, and then we're fine. Because they're looking for rebuttals a little bit, you know, like, and something that when we talked on stage, you said you've never broken up, but you've always been dumped.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you've asked for closure, have you asked for closure in the past? And what were the things that, like, you know, this guy's asking, what do women want to hear so I can get the fuck out of here? That's really what he's asking. Yeah. Because there's no answer.
Nothing gives closure like space. I mean, like, I'd say, like, don't even meet her and talk to her because, you know, it's like, yes, you live together. Yes. But it's like, what's going to give her closure is like time and space for her to come to the own realization. Like, I would do a thing, and I have been dumped a lot. Although I did kind of like lightly dump a guy one time, and I never gave a reason. And he will still text me like years later, like, was it this? And, you know, I just never kind of cared to, because it's like, I don't like your personality, to be totally frank. Like, that's what it is. It's not the anxiety. It's not that you said a weird thing one time. Like, I don't want to be with you. But in my case, whenever I would go through a breakup, like, I would go total detox, cut it off. I don't talk to the guy.
Detox.
I don't reach out. Yeah. And I took that.
I love that phrase.
It's called a breakup because it's broken, which was a self-help book that I was like keeping under my pillow for each breakup. But I think, like, you know, I would always want that because it's like, you know, you, as of somebody who's a performer, I'm always seeking affirmation. Rejection is like so upsetting to me because it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough? And it fuels something in my core, like my core wound of never feeling good enough. So I want to know what it is about me that's not good enough, so I can't be good enough.
So if, you know, if I was to ask questions for this guy, you know, like, cause like, listen, I wish I had done every breakup. I wish I've done better. Like I have regrets as far as how they went happened, but you know, it's like having regrets about how a bumper car race went, you know, like like I can look back and you know, or how a go-kart race went. Like I can look back and how I've done things differently, but in the moment you do what's best for you and what you think is best and safe for the other person.
Yeah.
So I think that's the perspective this person's coming from. Would you want, I think he should go speak with this person because if this is what they're asking for, this is what they'll get because you care about them. But I think to start the conversation, he wrote in his email, I just don't think our personalities match.
Yeah.
I think starting with that and then also admitting like something you just said where you're like, you know, this isn't about your worth as a person.
Right.
I just don't think our personalities match. And then adding on to that, like if I could give the perfect speech, it would be, you know, before we get started, I am here, you know, I understand that's vague, but again, I wish I knew what that concoction was that made us match. I just don't feel that. Like, I don't know what else he could say.
Yeah, because I think there's a self-destructive tendency when someone gets broken up with to be like, but what do you mean our personalities don't match? Like, what is it about me that you don't like? Just say, is it like, you know, you think it's like one thing, but it's like, you know, I guess this guy has to stick to his guns and say like, you know, not give this type of like, it's not you, it's me speech, but like to really say like, I don't feel that we're a good match and I don't want to be in a relationship. And that's the only explanation that I can really give.
And it's as if he's going to point out, well, here, it's this one joke you told.
Right.
And it's like, and I mean, even us having this conversation, I'm sure is helpful to anyone out there going through a breakup. Cause it's like, you know, even if you made that joke, like or you pointed it out, I can't point to a joke you made. I can point to how I felt inside and it just wasn't there. And I'm making a difficult decision, but I'm going to let you talk and tell me whatever you'd like to tell me. And then, for both of our sakes, this will be the last time we meet.
Yes, yes.
I think that's a good way to like kind of be like, here's your shot to get it out. And it's not that I don't care, but it's just not helping either one of us.
You have to heal and you can't just like keep, like I never would understand when my girlfriends would like kind of do the texting or like, well, I'm just going to like pop over and say hi. It's like, no, the relationship is over. You have to get yourself in a place where you can move on.
Yes.
Especially for the girl, because it's like time's running out, you know, like
well, that is also something to be admitted to be like, hey, this is about timing, you know, like, this is like, you know, if we were 22, I could just chill here. But we moved in together. Time moved on.
Yeah,
we cannot go backwards. I'm also not willing to stay in neutral.
No,
like I think that's another thing. Like I think every person understands time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I mean, I remember saying that in my breakup, just saying like, you know, I do want to move on with life.
Yeah.
But I'm holding back from something and I don't know what that is. And it must be that this isn't the match.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can look to. The J-Train Podcast is brought to you by Truff. Spring cleaning is here. Time to clean out the door of the fridge and get rid of all those sauces and spreads you haven't used in over a year. Look, now you've made room for Truff's entire line of fabulous products. I am such a huge fan of Truff because it's flavorful, delicious, and it adds an element to... And if you're trying to eat healthy like I am, I'm always trying. I'm always trying, especially when I'm home. When I'm home, I'm making a turkey sandwich. I'm having egg whites. You know, I'm not going all the way like I would do at a restaurant. And what Truff does, it lets you add, and I've been calling it, this is my go-to marketing campaign, it lets you add a dab of fab to any sandwich. Because, again, or any eggs or anything you're working with at home, if you're making a pasta, you know, you want to add a little Truff pasta sauce, all of it is like... It feels like you're at a restaurant and having a beautiful meal when you're really just being healthy at your home. This is a hot sauce with an edge, and it all started with two college friends named Nick, who disrupted the hot sauce industry with their social media skills and genius move to slip some truffles in there. And you don't have to take my word for it. Truff has been featured on Oprah's Favorite Things 3 times. You know how hard that is to be... I mean, Oprah's Favorite Things is like... Like it is what they call a kingmaker, and they've been on it 3 times. And it's been named bestseller of the year on the Today Show. Truff's full lineup of products not only includes their signature hot sauces, but pasta sauces. The pasta sauce, I have people asking me for it because they can't keep it in. They can't keep it on the shelves. The mayonnaise. Ooh, put this mayonnaise on a sandwich, and you are taken on a trip to fabulous land. And they're very. Own truffle oil. I make popcorn with it. It's amazing. And all their products are infused with 100% real black winter truffle or white truffle. That means no synthetic or artificial flavoring ever. And just for my listeners, they're going to give you an amazing offer. Get 15% off site-wide, plus free shipping with promo code JTRAIN at truff.com. That's 15% off everything at truff.com. Use promo code JTRAIN. The J-Train Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Join the action on the court during the biggest college basketball tournament of the year with DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. It's that simple. If they win, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still join the college hoops action with DraftKings Pools. Everyone can play free pools all March long for a shot at the share of over $250,000 in prizes. Simply join a pool and answer questions like who will make it to the next round and who will hit the most three-pointers, and then track your results. What a fantastic way to get involved with the tournament season. And I'm telling you, when you have a little something on the game, makes it fun. If you're going on a date with someone, their eyes are on the game, well, gets you involved too. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code JTRAIN, bet $5 on any college hoops team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. And if they win, you win with promo code JTRAIN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 and over, restrictions apply. See show notes for details. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Katie Hannigan at Katie Hannigan Forever. Go follow Feeling of Emptiness. The album, it is out right now. Okay. What's this dude's game? I've been seeing this guy I met on Hinge for about 2 months now. We've been out 8 or 9 times. We have been going out once a week. He's 34, I'm 29. I was honest with him and told him I'm not looking for a hookup and I'm looking for something more serious with time. I would like to be in a relationship, not next week or next month, but want to be with someone who wants something more serious if it's the right person. Okay, let me stop this email for 2 seconds. She's saying all the right things. You know, it's funny that she's like, we've been going out 2 months once a week. And I've been upfront that I want something not next week, not next month, but I want someone with someone that's the right person. Okay, both of you have that right.
Yes.
And so we have to keep that in mind. He told me he got out of a 4-year relationship a few months ago. While he's not trying to jump into anything too quickly, he thinks we have a really great and natural connection. She put that in quotes. He wants to be in a relationship again, she writes in quotes, but wants to take it slow and see where things can go, in quotes. This seemed like we were on the same page to me. I don't know if they're on the same page, but I think he's saying all the right things, and I do think he believes them. He's very thoughtful, generous, plans great dates, clearly listens. We are having great sex, and I think we could build a strong connection over time. He said he wants me to let him know if he needs more time for... He said he wants me to let him know if he needs more from me and to be honest about what our needs are. We both admitted to not being great about talking about these kind of things. My question is, why do I only hear from him when he's trying to set up a date? The patterns I see are on Sunday or Monday, he'll reach out, ask me about specific things I said I was doing over the weekend before asking me how my week looks to make a plan. Definitely better than the alternative of texting with no plans in sight, but I wish I could hear from him more. I think it's tough to only see a guy once a week to really feel like we're building a connection. I guess I could text him. I just prefer to feel pursued in a relationship. I do think he's into me. He bought me a really perfect, thoughtful birthday gift last week, but I'm not sure if he sees me as just a rebound girl or if he's just playing it really, really slow with me. Maybe he's trying to redefine his life as a single person. Maybe he's seeing a lot of other girls. I have a lot of ideas, but no answers. What do you think?
Ooh, tricky, tricky. My first reaction, though, when it said he just got out of a 4-year relationship is like, he is not looking for something serious. Yes, maybe he does want to see where it's going. But like, if you have been on 8 dates, you've had great sex, it's 2 months in. And, you know, I get taking it slow, but I feel like if it's a spark of love, I feel like you should be feeling that by now, you know? And if he's not, I don't love to be texted a lot, but I do feel like, you know.
I think also it has to get messy. You know, this is too missionary. This is a missionary dating experience.
Yes.
Date one, date two, date three. I think at some point, she says, I like to be pursued. You can feel pursued. You can leave out cheese to be eaten by the rat.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, I think like, like, be right, you know, in the beginning, the first month, you're like, I want a date. I want a guy who can make a date. And he's done that. What you want can change. I want this guy to want to hang out with me during non-date hours. Like that can be the thing that changes. I think for this woman, she's being a little too much of a bag in the wind.
Yeah.
I think she's like, whenever the wind blows into me, I'll be on that date. And it's like, I don't know what's, we can't say what's going on with him. We can't, we don't know. I will say, when someone reaches out, how was your weekend? Let's do a date this week. To me, that's someone who's dating you like a person who's been in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you guys are having date night. That's what people who are in four-year relationships do. Not what people do when they first meet. You know, it's a little bit wilder. Yeah.
But I would also say, like, it does, it seems like she wants a relationship.
Yes.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, I'm looking for a relationship. Like when I met my boyfriend, well, I've known him for years. We're friends. Mm. But when we first, the first time we ever, he invited me out, he said, are you looking to date someone? I said, I'm looking to get married. Just so you know, I am looking to get married. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to take my time finding out who the right person it is. But I was 30. I think I had just turned 32 when we met. So I remember being like, okay, I want to get married and I want to find a husband. And there's nothing wrong with being upfront with that you're in that stage of your life, you know?
I'm with you. I mean, to say that like, but I want to be someone who wants something more serious. It's like you're dancing around it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you this person needs to be a little bit more annoying.
And I think, like maybe you feel like a little fear of rejection, like, oh, I don't want to come on too strong. But it's like, I think guys do respect that. And also you're going to weed out any guy that's like, you know.
If I were this woman, since they're on like Thursday date night, you know, this missionary lifestyle. If I were her, I mean, she has to listen to the answers she's given.
Yeah.
Part of the, every part of, you know, when I give wild advice, and I don't think the advice I'm about to give is so wild, you have to listen to the answers you're given. Don't just do it. Don't just be bold without hearing whether your boldness is responded to.
Yeah.
So like, cause I get a lot of women that will reach out to my DMs and be like, hey, we should do a drink sometime. Tell me when you're ready. And then like they have a private profile. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to even respond to this. I got to delete this because even respond, like I don't know who I'm dealing with. I don't even see a personality in their Instagram profile. Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like they checked off the box of being bold. They're like, I've reached out. I did it. I'm doing things. I'm a woman in 2022. Okay, well, also, you have to be aware of like being turned down, being fully vetted by the other side. So I would say to her, if I were her, I would go out with my friends on a weekend. This weekend, I'd go out with my friends and I'd have a couple drinks and I would say, meet me out. I'm out with my friends. Come meet us.
Yes, yes.
And
see what happens.
And see what happens. Let's do a little sneak attack. Because, listen, his response might be, I'm doing this, this, and this. I can't. How about Tuesday at 8? To me, that's a person who's not dating you. He's interviewing you.
Yeah.
You know, we're 2 months in. He can't say like, I'll come run over. Or he can't say like, tomorrow I'll be out. Or, oh, this is so much fun. I'm out later tonight. There's a lot more options than Tuesday at 8. We should get drinks.
Yes.
To me,
yes.
Whenever I've done that, that's because I have other things going on.
Yeah.
And you're not the priority. And so that's what you have to listen to. Am I being made the priority? And it's like,
yes, yes. Or maybe like when you get the text, say, I can't this Thursday. How about Saturday? Let's see if we can at least bump it up to a weekend and then maybe try to overstay your welcome when you stay over the next day and see how long he lets you stay over. Can you turn it into a brunch? That was my old move. Probably why I was broken up with so much. I'm just moving into the guy's home.
But that's also one of those scenarios where it's like, it's messy.
Yeah, you know, you didn't get to
brush your teeth. You're hanging with someone, you know, like where you're in your clothes from the night before. It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit awkward. You know, it's more improv than it is a performance of stand-up. You know, it's like, and I think most good relationships are two-person improv. And if you're not doing that and you're just having performance dates, then you're not really dating.
And when you feel that spark of amazing connection with somebody, you don't want the night to end. You want it to just keep going into the next day where it's like, I guess we're watching a movie now. I guess, you know, it's, you want to have that. You want that to be something that you're looking forward to in a new relationship, I think.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Katie Hannigan, at Katie Hannigan forever. KatieHannigan.com is where you can get her album, Feeling of Emptiness, Lady Journey. I'm giving you a lot of stuff. It's all going to be in the description of this podcast. Go, go, go. Lady Journey is Katie's podcast. You do it with Sarah Tolomash. What do you guys talk about? Just lady stuff?
It's all lifestyle. So it's not necessarily like lady stuff particularly, except that we're ladies, but we'd love to do like anytime we travel, I'm always doing like my little travel recommendations. We do recipes. We love to chat food. I love to cook. We do like home decor. And then we also do like a lot of lady stuff. We do like, you know, being a female stand-up comedian, being a woman in the world, like traveling as a woman alone, stuff like that.
Well, you two are
a little grab.
I would say this to people: if they're looking for a podcast, go listen to Lady Journey, because I would say, just knowing you both, you and Sarah, you're good hangs, you're good talks,
and
you guys, if I was sitting at a table with you guys, it would be a fun conversation. So the podcast is going to be that. So anyone looking to like sit and chill with two fun, empathetic people, you're going to get that from Lady Journey. So everyone go subscribe to the podcast. I think it's a great show. Two awesome comics. Okay. How do you get an answer to what are you looking for without directly asking, what are you looking for? These are all very related emails. I like this. You ready? Jared and guest. I'm a woman who is actively dating and looking for a committed relationship. Living in a large city, I come across a lot of guys who aren't looking for anything serious or aren't ready for a relationship. She put those in quotes. With many of them not revealing this information until later down the line, usually after I've gotten invested and, of course, after sex. It's super annoying. I'm hoping to weed these guys out earlier and be a better buyer. At the same time, I want my dates and my dating life as a whole to be fun, and I don't want to feel or come off as jaded. I'm curious if there are any good fun questions or conversations topics that might reveal a guy's intention without coming off like an interrogation or a job interview. For example, I have one friend who likes to swap war stories about past bad dates and her new dates with her new dates. She swears by it, saying it can reveal a lot about a guy about what a guy considers too much too fast or clingy or how they date in general. I know there's no magic question or conversation that can truly weed out every guy just looking for a hookup, but I'm curious to see what you and your guests have to say about this. Sincerely, how do you get an answer to what are you looking for without directly asking? What are you looking for? Hey, Katie, what do you think?
I think, well, I love the idea of sharing awful dating stories. I think that's such a fun way to see, like, you know, if the person has a self-awareness that they were on an awful date in the first place.
If they're like, and she wanted to go to dinner. Oh, come on, lady.
Yeah. You're like,
what are you, crazy? Oh, okay. Good to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
She hung out and wanted brunch after she slept over. What am I? What am I, IHOP?
But yeah, I think like definitely, I always think it's so telling. When was your last relationship and how long was it? If a guy, it's so rare if a guy is recently leaving a long-term relationship that he wants to get in a new relationship. And I know like it's a kind of thing, and I've fallen into this before, where I think women are like, well, maybe he's ready. But it's like, he's not.
Yeah, I would say here's the problem. Here's the problem she has. What are you looking for? Every guy believes he is looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
They believe it. Mm-hmm. If you believe it, it is not a lie.
Yes. Okay. True.
So if we're going to be truly empathetic to the other side of this situation, because I have been that guy, what are you looking for? Well, if it's the right person, I'm looking for a relationship. So let me just tell you, that answer ain't going to get you nowhere, bitch. It ain't happening for you. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? Okay. She mentioned sex. If I'm her, it's time to realize this casual sex game ain't for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean that's absolutely. That's not a negativity about sex, but that is understanding that I need people to know that there are consequences that come with having sex with me.
And, yes.
You know, and because for a lot of guys, they're saying, well, there's no consequence for me, so there's no consequence for you. They're saying, and listen, I don't think they're wrong for doing that. We all put our own standards on other people when they don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our baseline. We go, well, we went out and had drinks on a first date. We went home, we had sex, and then I'll go home and I'll review whether I think there'll be a good relationship for me. And then they end up saying, well, you're not really a good relationship for me. And then you go, well, you did that all to have sex. And they go, well, no, I didn't really think of it that way. I thought of it based on my standards. So no one's going to like make standards for you is really my warning.
Yes.
I will say this. She asked for like, if like the war stories, I like that because you can hear what they consider like a war story. I do agree with you, Katie. Like, how long have you been in a relationship? I mean, I used to get in 10-month relationships, and so that was like more to me when I told people I would get in 10-month relationships, I would assume, but I probably shouldn't assume this, that acts as a warning, like, hey, I could be in a relationship and it could end.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's a consequence for you. Like, so like I would say to this person, maybe take sex off the table. That doesn't mean you can't be
table.
But that doesn't mean you can't be sexual. Like
I mean,
I've been doing a joke on stage about like hand jobs. Like, bring it back.
Yes. Like, oh, why not? Do a make out.
Make out.
I think too, like, just watch how he pursues you and watch if he seems super into you. Maybe, you know, let it go. But if he doesn't really seem that into you and it's very casual dating, like in the first question where it's like one date a week, you know, he's scheduling one date a week, then I would say, like, you know, maybe it doesn't seem like, because when a guy is really into you, he's really into you. When there's a spark, and I think women sometimes come up with, and I've heard my own girlfriends do that, and I've done it myself, like, well, maybe he's a little shy, maybe he just wants to take things slow. But in my experience, when I've met somebody that leads to a relationship, the guy makes it very clear.
Men are hunters.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, want to eat, you know, and it's a little bit of a Darwinism thing. Like, no one's too shy to get something they want.
Yes.
Or to keep them alive, you know? So I would also say, she asked for any good, fun questions in conversation. What do you think about one night stands?
Good one.
I think that's a good question, because if they say they're not into them, I don't know, you know, now you're getting, if they give you, you'll know right away if it's an honest answer.
Yes,
Hate them isn't really honest, but it, like, you know, when I've had them in the past.
Had a terrible experience,
Yeah, like, but if they go, when I've had them in the past, they've been fun, and I've if someone asked me that question, I would be like, you know, they're fun, but at the same time, I never really feel, like, comfortable afterwards, and, you know, I've never really dated someone after a one-night stand, and to me, you know, like, if they asked me that question, my answer would be a drawn out, depthy answer with someone that I cared to give that to.
Yeah.
If they saw the one night stand question as a act of like, are they trying to like, if the guy was like, oh, I love them, is that what you're looking for? Now you found out that he is fucking looking for sex, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know, that's such a fun question too, because it's like, who knows? You might hear a fun story with that too. Like, you know, one night stands can always be like so wacky, you know?
Well, and also they'll come back to you and they'll go, what do you think? And you can say, I don't like them. I really only have, like, to me, sex is a relationship. And, and they go, it will feel a little bit like the music stopped, but you have now added consequences. Hey, I might go home and give you a hand job tonight, but that doesn't mean, you know, if the sex happens, that means something more.
Yes. You lay it out. I do like that a lot.
The J Train podcast is sponsored by Nutrafol. 30 million women experience weakened or thinning hair. but thousands of women have taken control of their hair with Nutrafol. Improve hair growth and less shedding through all stages of life. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. I will tell you this. My mom loves this stuff. She, I gave it to her when Nutrafol sent it to us, and then she's been asking for more every time I'm at her house. And I have to say, if you're dealing with, you know, thinning hair, and this is an option. Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. It works by targeting the five root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and your metabolism. When you subscribe, you'll receive monthly deliveries so you never miss a dose. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. Wow. More than 1,500 top doctors recommended. You may also notice improvements to your overall well-being, including restful sleep, less stress, and better skin, nails, and libido. Grow thicker, healthier hair and support the show by going to Nutrafol.com. Use promo code JTRAIN. New customers get $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer available anywhere and only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, get free shipping on every order. So take $15 off at Nutrafol.com. That's spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code JTRAIN. Stand up for your strands and get Nutrafol. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Katie Hannigan. At Katie Hannigan forever. Go, go, go. Follow, follow, follow. Okay, let's do this one. Let's do a screenshot one. You ready?
Yes, I did have a little peep at this, and I thought it was good. Just bananas.
It's a little bananas, but I think it's a good example of something that happens on dating apps a lot. And I am...
Yeah.
Let's get into it. You ready?
Yes.
Is this guy messaging me on... Hold on. Is this guy messing with me on Bumble? Dueling toilets? Screenshots. Okay. Jared, I had this interaction on Bumble and need your opinion on whether he was messing with me or not. I feel bad if he was being sincere. There's a lot to unpack here. But a bird feeder in a Manhattan apartment, to each their own on shitting as foreplay, I guess. If nothing else, I hope at least checks out... I hope he at least checks out your special. Thanks for so many laughs. Let me poop in peace. So here's the context. We're going to read the email, or we're going to read the screenshots. Context: I'm responding to a line in his profiles that says he doesn't keep his toothbrush in his bathroom. So she's saying on his profile, it says he doesn't keep his toothbrush in the bathroom. So you be her, I'll be him.
Okay. Let me just bring it up here.
I think it's important. It was in his profile that he doesn't keep his toothbrush in his bathroom.
Yes. Okay. I need to know where your toothbrush is.
See, to me, and this is Bumble, where the woman has to open first. To me, that's a great opener. He wrote in his profile.
Yes.
That is something, if it's in your profile, it's something that you thought to put in there. She is being thoughtful and asking a good question. Where's the toothbrush? Let's get into it. And to me, it's light enough that it's like an easy enough conversation, you know?
Yes, yes. I think it's very cute. It's a good starter.
So he writes, "Oh my gosh, I actually got your attention. Hey," with a huggy face emoji. "I keep it outside my window next to my bird feeder. I know it's weird, but it's where I've always kept it, and I'm a creature of habit. Ha ha. What does your dream bathroom look like?"
We can't breeze by that so fast. Can you send me a picture? This is wild.
I still love her. I'm not a fan of him because
no. He
randomly mentions a bird feeder. He says, "Oh my gosh, I actually got your attention." It's like, yeah, of course, we're on the dating app. Like, let's not be so surprised.
Yes.
And I know it's weird, but out of habit, you're now being so vague.
It's so obscure. I also don't like your weirdness.
It's okay.
Own it or explain it. I hate that it's like goes to what's your dream bathroom. It's like just more weirdness now, which is what weird people often do. And it's like, I'm over it. I'm already over it.
Yeah. And he writes, "Let's breeze," with a blowing face emoji. "My friends tell me if I want a woman, I can't be too weird too fast." See, this is annoying too. It's like, no, she's asked a direct question. You don't know each other. You're a stranger. You're acting evasive. If this is a joke, and listen, let me just admit to something. When I was on Bumble, I used to do jokes all the time. I used to, people would say, hey, what's up? And then I would write like a 10 sentence dissertation about how sad I was in dating. And that was the joke. And it was supposed to be a commentary on dating. I can understand how someone would be like, well, that wasn't funny to me. We had a match. And I would go, okay, I apologize. I guess there's something fair in that. But I would also say the joke, if you're going to do the I'm fucking around thing, it's one and done. Yeah. Do your joke and be out.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Allow the other person to be funny back to you. But yes. Right now, he's doing a joke that only he's in on. Yes. He hasn't let her in on it. So that's the unfair part here. Okay, so let's go back to it.
The weirdness is flowing. Let's embrace it.
I love her. She's still being positive.
She's so cute.
She's still being like, okay, I'm giving you many chances. He writes, well, in that case, I have no plates or forks, and I also have no blanket. Clenching teeth emoji. How do you feel about dual toilets? Like, he's off the subject of the toothbrush now. He's into more weird shit.
Dude, what?
Which part? I knew I shouldn't have revealed my cards. Sweating face emoji.
No blankets, forks, or plates would be an issue for me regardless of when I found out.
I could buy those things from the store.
What's the reason you haven't?
I don't have a blanket because I sleep without one, and I have no plate because I use a bowl, and I have no fork because I use a spoon. I have cups, multiple cups, four cups, five if my thermos counts. See, at this point,
it's just like, why are you even on the dating app? Are you just on the dating app to gratify your own weirdness? Are you trying to meet somebody? Like, are you a narcissist? Because no one cares. Get a bowl.
And she's giving him, like, I don't even believe his bowl, his toothbrush. I don't believe any of it. He thinks he's being funny, but you meet these people all the time. You ever been around someone where they're just laughing and they're like, they won't even let you in on the joke? Like, that's a mean person.
Yeah, and it's some kind of like insecurity too, where it's like you're just covering for your own insecurity by like not opening yourself to this other person, which is just like, what's the point even of being on the site?
Ugh. And the emailer even wrote that they feel bad. They're like, what if they do like these toilets? It's like, no. We have to be okay with these things not really connecting with ourselves, like not connecting with these things. It's okay. You're not in it. So let's finish out the conversation.
Okay, it doesn't. And dual toilets, I feel like you're fucking with me. This is wild.
Dual toilets offer exceptional level of intimacy, but would they be side by side for hand holding or facing each other for eye contact? At that point, I'm unfollowed. I mean,
yeah,
I'm out on this guy before this, but it has gone down the river of insanity so much that you're his plaything at this point. Like, he's not even playing with you. He's playing at you.
It's just utter rudeness.
Yeah.
This has to be a joke. And as a big fan of stand-up, I appreciate the laugh, which, I mean, is who's laughing at this? I don't know, but she's very sweet.
I don't know how to feel about this. I haven't been trying to be funny. See?
Really?
No.
Really?
We're going to end the conversation. For me, I understand these jokes do happen. There are people fucking with people, and it can be done in a fun way. He didn't have fun with you. That's the biggest problem with this. And you shouldn't feel bad about unmatching.
Let's see. Everyone's someone's foot.
Well, she gives a plug to me. What is the meaning of this?
If you're for real about this dueling toilet thing, maybe you'll find someone who shares that passion.
Perhaps, but time is not on my side.
The foot line comes from Jared Freed, great comedian. I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not into what you're looking for, but wish you luck on your search. So sweet.
Likewise, and all the best. I mean, so sweet, too sweet to this point. Even I don't even want this person listening to the podcast at this point. I'm like, this person gets it so little that, like, why would we let them be involved? You know, like, I don't know. It's frustrating because, listen, as a jokester myself, I'm like, you know, looking back at my own jokes being like, oh man, you don't want to make someone feel bad for going along with you, but you have to let someone in if you're going to be jokester.
Yeah.
He never lets her in. J-Train.
It's just, it makes me furious because I feel like I know the type of guy who this is and I can just get it just from this exchange. And it's like, it's the type of guy who's like, I'm a weird boy. I'm just a little weird boy. That's my thing. It's like, you're a narcissist, actually. You're a covert narcissist, and you deserve to be alone because you're very rude.
Yeah, go have fun playing board games at Brooklyn at a cat bar. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Katie Hannigan, thank you for coming on. This is fantastic.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was great. I really appreciate it.
Everyone go follow at Katie Hannigan forever. KatieHannigan.com is where you can get her album, Feeling of Emptiness. Go, go, go. Lady Journey, that's her podcast. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. We'll be back next week. Boom.